If you've got your Bible, if you'd like to turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Okay. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I have lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of the severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning you night and day with tears. Now I commit to you God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I do, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, as he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was the statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Can we turn this down a wee bit? Is that okay? Thanks. You know what's funny is when sometimes when I get asked to speak, you know, the devil, he comes in, he's like, "Oh, it's not what I have for you. It's not what I want you to share." The title that was the service was given for me was A Community of Learning. And as I was reading it, I was like, I don't really know how that's going to fit into what I'm saying. But I've got like a good Presbyterian. I've got a few points to make. And, you know, it's just funny that everything that's been shared today relates to the points that I have. We've got intimacy, we've got accountability, we've got humility, honesty. So let's see what God has to say to us today. The background of this passage is in chapter 19, Luke tells us that Paul is planning 3 important journeys. And here in Acts 20, it is recorded the completion of the first journey and the beginning of the second. I'm just going to go through a couple of the verses quickly today. I've got quite a lot to share, so and we'll just see what God has to say to us. So the first verse that I'd like to highlight is chapter 20, verse 18. So I'll just read that out to us. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I've lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia." For me, what I really struggle with in church is when people come into church and they've been outside the building before they come in and everything is going so rubbish for them and life is really hard and they're struggling and, you know, they're over here and they're like, "Oh man, you know, I just can't be bothered with church today. I just don't feel God's presence. I just don't know what to do." They come in the door and someone goes, "Hey, how are you?" "Oh, I'm fine. How are you?" You know, and that answer, fine. Like, what's it? Accountability. We need to be honest with people. We need to be the church, we need to love one another, and we need to share and do life together.
One thing I love about this church is that we don't just go to church, we do church and we are church. A couple of my friends before, who are from Lewis, right, boys, one of them said to me, he'd been here for 2 minutes, and he goes, "This is the friendliest church in the world." And I was like, "It is. Like, it's amazing, you know?" And I want to encourage you, Paul in this passage, he's encouraging the leaders of the church, and he's also warning them. But today I want to focus on encouraging us, because like we heard, the Church of Scotland is going through a hard time just now, and I want to encourage you, this church isn't dead. I'm 21 and I'm going for the ministry in the Church of Scotland, and I don't think it's a coincidence today that Jean shared that. You know, and I was a couple of weeks ago, I was away at a conference, and I was absolutely packed with young people who are going in for the ministry. You know, and that doesn't bring a smile to your face. I don't know what it is. Like, this church isn't done. God isn't finished with the Church of Scotland, and God isn't finished with the church in Scotland. We need to be honest with each other. We need to be honest with each other. And that's my first point. My second path is, I've only been here since September, but this phrase, the unknown path, keeps coming up. And I think it means a lot to this church in White Inch. And again, I felt God wanted me to share that with you today. In verse 22 and verse 23, it says this. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prisons and hardships are facing me." The Holy Spirit's warning him that it's going to be a difficult path. But it's a path that the Holy Spirit's on, and that's encouraging. Paul knew that imprisonment was awaiting him. Although his friends pleaded with him not to go there, he knew that he had to because God wanted him to be there. Nobody in life enjoys pain, but a faithful disciple wants above all else to please God. And that is what we need to do. We need to please God with our lives. Our desire to please God should overshadow our desire to avoid hardship and suffering. This is a difficult life that we've been called to, and it is hard. We've heard that, you know, people struggle with their neighbors and stuff. No, but God's placed you there for a reason, and I would encourage you to stick where you are because you're there for a reason. You know, it's when we follow this unknown path and we follow God's voice, that's when we can truly say with all our hearts, "The Lord's will be done." You see, what if God is asking us to do something we don't really want to do? You know, I was quite happy in my church. When I first moved down to Glasgow, I went to a church right in Bishop Briggs, and I enjoyed it. It was comfortable. It was all right. And my girlfriend, now fiance, went to her home church for her whole life, and she was quite comfortable there, just going through routine, doing life. But we felt last summer that God was calling us to leave our churches and go find somewhere else. And I'm in ICC in my third year, and I needed a placement. And I already had a placement sorted out in the church I was going to. I came down in September, and I needed to find a new church and find a placement within a couple of weeks. Now, we had made a list about what a church we wanted to go to. And I went a little like this. This might make you laugh. No women speaking. No flags. No spontaneous worship, because that's only for conferences or for clan. Like, we just want our hymn sandwich. You know? We want a good 35, 45-minute sermon, which you're going to get today, by the way. I joke. You know? And we went to a church, and it was good. It was comfortable. It was all right. And then I felt God say, "Go and try out White Inch." And I'd been here my first year in White Inch, and I felt God say that this is a place you needed to be. And I was like, "Oh, maybe." But there was a lady from Lewis who went to the other church, and it was just a lot more comfortable to go there. She cooked for me every Sunday. She cooked and froze meals for me for the next week, and you know, life was easy. I think I made toast in first year in my uni, and that was all I ever had to make. And we came along here, and Becca couldn't make it the first Sunday morning, but I came, and it was just the warmth. of this place. It was just so encouraging, and they asked us to come along to their meeting on a Thursday night, which was just spontaneous worship, and we loved it. And we both left there and looked at each other, and we're like, that's the one. Like, this is where we need to be. And it has been difficult, and it's been challenging, because this isn't what we're used to. I go to Clan, and I leave Clan at Clan, and I go back to church, and you just get into the routine of life and religion, really. But when God's calling you to do something, and he's leading you down an unknown path, you need to go there. We don't know who holds the future, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And if that doesn't encourage you, then I don't know what will. You see, it's not about wealth either. Paul says in verse 33 that he hasn't coveted anyone's gold or silver. If our focus is on wealth and on the materialistic things, then we have a worldly focus. These things are not bad to have, because God can use them for his kingdom and for his good. But when they become our priority in life, that's when things start to slip, and things, you know, we take our focus off God, and we lose that path, and we want to be comfortable. We want to have, you know, enough money in the bank to make everything's all right. You know, how am I going to pay for the messages, the shopping this week? You know, how am I going to pay for all my bills? You know, this is my job. I can't leave, you know. If God's calling you to do something, just go do it. Like, just enough. Just go do what God's calling you to do. You'll hold your hand through it. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Just do it. When I got asked to preach this week, before I got given a chapter, I wanted to preach on a verse that's really, really special to me. It's in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And it's, "If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves before me, I will hear them and heal their land." And, you know, I had this, like, sermon planned out in my head before, and I was like, yeah, I'll do that. That's really good. That's really good. And then God was like, no, you're not preaching that. You need to preach this. I was like, thanks, Ben. You know, thank you very much. But, you know, God has his ways, and, you know, he does. He's humorous, and, you know, he allowed me to apply that into this sermon. Verse 19 of chapter 20 reads, "I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents." In that verse in Chronicles, it doesn't say, you know, if my people who are called by my name are humbled by me. We don't want to wait until God humbles us, because that's dangerous. God calls us to humble ourselves before him. And, you know, Steve, I love it when you lead worship, because you're just so passionate, and you put down your instrument and you go on your knees, and you can just see your abandonment for God. You know, and humility is the lens that we need to do life through for God. We need to set aside all the stuff and all the rubbish that we want, all the religion and all the church that we like done. You know, I come from the island of Lewis, which is maybe one of the most religious places in Scotland, you know, and I'm wearing brown shoes today with jeans, and I tell you what, if I was preaching in Lewis, I wouldn't be wearing brown shoes with jeans on, I'll tell you that for nothing. You know, but it's not about that. Like, it's not, like, God, Christianity isn't about laws and isn't about rules. It's about a relationship with the living King. And we need to put him first in our lives, and that's what humility looks like. Like I said, I come from Lewis, and revival is such a passion of mine. You know, my grandpa was converted in the Lewis revival. I go to Tommy McNeil's church, so it's in my DNA, and it's what I breathe. And I believe that before the Lord takes me, that I will see revival in Scotland, and I cannot wait to see this. And it's the guys of experience know that it's just what I want in life. I want to see revival. I want to see people come to a realization that God is their King. And that God is their Savior for God's glory. But for this to happen, we need to humble ourselves. That's what this verse is saying. This verse gives us a promise. God says that he will heed us and heal our land. Can I tell you something? Do you know that God loves the Church of Scotland and the church in Scotland more than I do and more than we do? And he is for the Church of Scotland and the church in Scotland. But what if we are stopping God from coming in? Like, God is a powerful God and God can do what he wants. But there's something really simplistic about it, that he wants to use us. And I can't fathom that. I don't know, I don't understand that. But God calls us and he says that we're the body of the church and he wants to use us as his hands and as his feet. Can I just say, if there's something you don't like about church or about a church, get over yourself. I was at Clan a couple of weeks ago, and I'm you guys might think I'm quite offensive, but I don't really mind. I was at Clan a couple of weeks ago, and a guy called Richard Taylor was speaking, and he was involved in the revival down in Wales. And he said something that really, really challenged me, and it really made me think about my life back home. See, sometimes as a church, we think that we've got it on the head. You know, we've got it down to a T. This is how a church should be, and this is what we'll do. We'll sing our 20 minutes of worship first, and then someone will come up and speak, and we'll have a bit of prayer and stuff. You know, it's good, and you know, it's. God loves it when we come and worship, come to worship him. But if you don't like something about a church, please don't say it. This guy Richard said, you know, the church is the bride of Christ. And if you speak negatively about the church, and you're speaking negatively about Christ's bride, and he said, you don't want to be committing domestic abuse against his bride. Because that's the wrong kind of husband you want to tick off. No, because he's a powerful, powerful God. Church isn't about us, and I'm really not even speaking about my notes or anything, so thank you very much, Shona. But I just feel like God is calling us just to be a people who come and humble ourselves before him, and who just worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to make one more point. I've got another four or five points to make, but I'm not even going to speak on them, because I don't think that's what God wants me to say this morning. There's one more thing I want to say. And then I'm going to invite the band. I don't know what the rest of the format of the service is, but I'm going to invite the band up. Do you want to come up just now, please, band? Do you want to come up? We're going to do some worship in a minute. And the prayer team, can you come out as well, please? I don't know who's on prayer this morning, but I'd like you to come out. Yeah, just now. I'm not going to ask to speak again here. There's one more thing I want. Last night I was at Ring Collective, and we were worshiping God, and it was amazing. We're in the nightclub ABC, and it was actually amazing just worshiping God there. Where later on that night people are going to be coming in and getting drunk and dancing with the world, and it was amazing just to be there and just to leave some of God's presence in that building. And last night I was praying about tonight, and I saw a picture of this beautiful island, and there was a boat going around it. And it was just on the shore, and the center of the island was so, so beautiful. And I felt God was saying to me, there's people here today who keep coming to him and keep asking for forgiveness for things they've done in the past. You're forgiven. Just forget about it. Just focus on God. Focus on the King. We're going to stand, please. We're going to stand and worship in a minute. God was saying to me last night, these people are my sons and daughters. That makes you the princess and the prince of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know what Prince Harry, I think his name is, down in England. He doesn't tiptoe around the Buckingham Palace and tiptoe around the Queen. He knows that he's rightful to be there. And today you are rightful to be there in God's presence, and God wants you to be there. So we're gonna sing and we're gonna worship God. And I just want you to humble yourselves before him. I want you to focus on him. And if you don't know Jesus today, just come for prayer. This is a safe place. We need to be accountable with one another. We need to be honest before each other. If you don't know God, I want you to come forward for prayer. And that's really hard because we live in a society where, oh, what if people think something about me? Oh, just forget about them. This is a moment of intimacy with you and God. If you need healing today, I want you to come forward because there's something special about taking that step of faith. If you need healing, you come forward for prayer. If you need a touch of God, you come forward for prayer. And I don't care if there's nobody else sitting out there and everyone is forward here for prayer, because that is church. I know I haven't spoken about the passage that I was given. But I just feel God saying to us, just give it to me. Just humble yourselves. God is for us and not against us. He is your Abba Father. He loves you. He wants you to run towards him with open arms. He wants to have that intimate relationship with you. And it doesn't matter what you've done in this life. Doesn't matter what you've done. I know that there's people sitting there thinking, oh, but you know, I've done this, I've done that. Christ died for you. It is finished, he cried. So Father, we just pray just now that you would come and have your way in our church. We just pray just now, Lord, that we would just fix our eyes upon Jesus. We just pray just now that we would humble ourselves before you, God. We would cry, would you come and have your way? So if you need prayer just now, I'd invite you to come forward and take that step of faith. And if you don't, then let's just worship God in spirit and in truth.